2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've been preaching through Mark in the evening, but here in the morning I decided to take a break from that, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians. It's one of my favorite passages, and actually I preached on it about a year ago, but I was drawn to it again because we find great, great comfort and encouragement in this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm actually going to start reading with the last verse of chapter 3, and then we'll read all of chapter 4. Remember, this is God's eternal word. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May God bless the reading of His eternal word. There's a popular song on the radio today. It's a country song. It's called "Sounds Like Life to Me." It's sung by a guy named Darrell Worley. And this song, like many other country songs, tells a little story. In this song, there are two friends, two guys sitting at a bar. One of them is there because he's overwhelmed by all the pressures of life. He's overwhelmed by all the responsibilities that have built up on him. And over time, they've sort of snowballed and he can't take it anymore. His responsibilities are pulling at him from all sorts of directions and it's relentless. He doesn't have time to breathe. He can't take it anymore. And so he's here at the bar trying to drink away all his worries, to try to forget about his overwhelming life. And so he tells his friend what's going on. He says, my wife's car is about to fall apart. The washer quit last week. We had to put Mama in the nursing home and the baby's cutting teeth. I didn't get much work this week and I got bills to pay. Three kids and a wife depend on me and I am just one man. He's overwhelmed with these responsibilities that pile higher and higher and higher, and he just can't take it anymore. He hates the struggle and he's ready to give up. Well, his friend is sitting there next to him, trying to encourage him. To try to encourage him to keep going and not to drink his life away. And his encouragement is this. Well, that's life. Suck it up. Deal with it. That's the best encouragement that he could come up with to encourage his friend. Well, a similar story or a similar scenario is happening in this passage, but the encouragement that we find here is much, much greater than any encouragement that the world has to offer. The scenario is this in this passage. Paul here is writing to a church that's overwhelmed with responsibilities and pressures, the pressures that they have. They're being persecuted because of their faith in Christ as they're Christians. They have these financial pressures, these family pressures, broken relationships, low-paying jobs, all kinds of things. The waves continue to crash over them, and they're having a hard time keeping their head above water. And the temptation is to try to alleviate that pressure, either by giving up on being a Christian, or you go to the bar and try to forget about your life, or you just run away and you never come back. You try to throw off this weight of responsibility. Well, in this passage, Paul seeks to give great encouragement to these believers who are overwhelmed. And this encouragement that he offers is much greater than the encouragement offered in that country song. He doesn't say, suck it up, deal with it. That's life. No, instead, he reminds us of the great hope that we have as the people of God. And only if you have this hope inside of you will you be able to stand up under the pressures that come crashing down upon you. A lot of you here feel very acutely the pressures of life. You're overwhelmed with your responsibilities at work, or your parents are growing older and they need more of your care, or your children are high maintenance right now, or they're needy. Or maybe other relationships are hard. Or maybe your car breaks down and you get sick, or the roof leaks. All these things happen. And then there's the physical or emotional pain that you're dealing with. All these things can weigh us down, and at times they're almost unbearable. Like we're just about to break, and you're tempted to just run away. To drink it away. To forget about it. Well, if you're overwhelmed with life, then this passage here is for you. It's for us. In the midst of your struggles, remember the hope that you have. Don't lose heart. Persevere by fixing your eyes on the hope that's set before you. So we want to look at this hope that is set before you. What is this hope that helps us when we're overwhelmed with the pressures of life? What's this hope that Paul gives to these believers to help them and encourage them through their times of trouble? This is the question I want to explore. But before Paul tells us about the hope that we have as followers of Christ, he first reminds us of the goal of our ministry. Or actually more fully, he reminds us of the purpose of our lives. Why are we here? Sometimes we work and we work and we work and we're doing all these things trying to serve, but we forget the whole purpose of what we're about. We lose sight of why we're doing these things. And sometimes we get so busy, so overwhelmed, we forget this purpose of why we're here on earth. And it says in that last verse of chapter 3, it says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory." The purpose of our lives, the goal of our ministry, is to reflect the glory of God for the whole world to see. When God shines His glory upon us, we are to act as mirrors reflecting that glory into the world. And so when the world sees us, they see the way that we live, the way we act, the way we think, they see the hope that we have. They don't see us, but they see the glory of God. And it says that God continues to work in us day by day, turning us, transforming us into His likeness so that we can glorify Him even better. This is what the whole purpose of our life is about. This is to be our motivation behind everything we do, that God would be glorified, that we would want everyone to see God's glory when they look at us. Well, that sounds great. It sounds like a great idea. It's a great, glorious goal. But Paul introduces us here to a very difficult truth in chapter 4. He tells us that reflecting God's glory comes through struggle and pressure and pain. The more difficulties we go through, the more pressures that are placed on us, the more the world gets to see the glory of God. Paul sort of changes metaphors here. In chapter 3, we glorify God like mirrors, reflecting God's glory into the world. But here in chapter 4, we glorify God by being jars of clay. We are jars of clay. Jars of clay in the ancient world were cheap, commonplace containers. It'd be like Tupperware or cheap plastic containers that we have. Our cheap plastic containers are expendable. If one breaks, you have 30 others in the cupboard. My cupboard spills over with these cheap plastic containers. I don't know where I got them all. But they're sort of like what we have, what the ancient world had in clay pots. They're commonplace, they're fragile, they break, you throw them out and you replace them. Well, let's say you took one of these clay pots and you did a little experiment. You stood it upright and you stacked weight on it to see how much weight it could handle before it could break, before it would break. And so you start off light with 5 pounds. You work your way up. You get to 25 pounds and the jar of clay looks pretty sturdy. It's handling this weight pretty well. You get up to 45 pounds and you can see that it's now under pressure, but it continues to stand strong. 65 pounds, 85 pounds, and finally at 95 pounds, all of a sudden, a small little crack forms, and 3 seconds later, the whole pot gives way and it gets crushed under the weight that's placed upon it. The pot is crushed under the weight that's placed upon it. That's what would happen to a normal clay pot. If too much pressure, too much weight is placed upon it, it's not only going to crack and break, but it's actually going to get crushed under its weight. Well, Paul says that we are like these fragile jars of clay. We are these inexpensive, easily cracked jars of clay that will get crushed by the pressures that pile up on us. We'll either break down, or we'll run away from it all, or we'll try to drown away our sorrows. We try to forget this weight that's placed upon us. We crack. But as Christians, Paul says that there's something inside of us that keeps us from being crushed. No matter how heavy things get, we aren't crushed. We continue to keep our shape. Sure, we're cracked, but we continue to keep our shape. We have this treasure in jars of clay, it says in verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power comes from God and not from us. It says we're pressured on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We have this weight placed upon us that in any other circumstance would crush us to the ground. And people wonder, they look at us and they wonder, why does he keep going? Why does she continue to endure? People wonder why that we don't give up. And it's because we have this treasure within us that gives us the power to persevere, to not be crushed. This treasure gives us supernatural power to withstand the pressures that would normally crush us. Well, what is this treasure inside of us? What is this treasure that gives us this supernatural power? Well, I think in this passage, with all the verses around it, we understand that this treasure that's hidden inside us is hope. The treasure is hope. It is hope in the promises of God. And only as you hope in the promises of God will you be able to withstand the pressures and the responsibilities and the troubles that overwhelm you. I want to point out 3 promises that are given to us in which we are to set our hope. Three promises that we need to stake our lives on, otherwise we're going to be crushed. And as we trust in these promises, they will give us, this hope will give us supernatural power to withstand the pressures that weigh us down. Three promises. The first promise we need to hope in is the promise of God's unchanging love. The promise of God's unchanging love. In chapter 6, verse 4, it says that, in verse 6 in chapter 4, it says that God has given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a neat sounding verse. But what does that mean? Here's what he's saying. God has filled us. He's filled these jars of clay with the knowledge of his glory. He's filled us with the light of his glory. The knowledge of his glory. And how do we know the glory of God? How do we know how glorious God is? How do we see his glory the clearest? We see the glory of God the clearest in the face of Jesus Christ. We see the glory of God most fully when we understand the greatest demonstration of his love. That while we were still sinners, Christ came to live and die for us. This is the glory of God. Here we see the mercy and love of God. Yeah, we see the glory of God in creation all around us. We see his power, his intelligence, his creativity. But we see most fully and clearly the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When God poured out his love on us by pouring his wrath out on his own Son so that we would be saved. In our sin, we were enemies with God. We hated God. We wanted nothing to do with God. But God still loved us. God loved us while we were his enemies, while we were completely unlovable. The greatest demonstration of his love is that he sent his Son to die for us so that we would be saved. He loved the unlovable. If you trust in Jesus Christ, then you can rest in the fact that you have been loved by God. And you are loved by God. There's a movie I saw a few years ago. It's a girly movie. I'm sort of embarrassed that I actually watched it. It's called Waiting to Exhale. It's a story, though, about these four women who are looking to be loved by a man. They want to be loved and cared for and treated well. They want to have the security and identity of being loved. And if you find that love, they said, then you get to exhale. It's a sigh of relief. It's a long-awaited hope that's now a reality. They were waiting to exhale, waiting for that love, but they didn't find it. We are made with this longing to be loved. And the love here on earth, even the best love, is broken. The only perfect love is the love of God. When he sent his Son to die so that we could live. When he loved us when we didn't deserve it. God loves you with an unending love. So you get to exhale. You get to rest and be at peace because God has loved you. He watches over us and he cares us, and this love will endure forever. Many of you feel the heavy weight on your shoulders. Your legs feel like they're about to give way. You feel the pressures of life, the pressures, the responsibilities, the expectations, trials, disappointments, conflicts, failures, sickness, sin. All these things pile up on us. And they begin to snowball in our lives. It builds and it builds and it builds. And we feel the cracks beginning to splinter in these jars of clay. And if there's just one more thing, it's all going to come crashing down. That's how you feel. As this pressure mounts on you, as you feel those cracks beginning to form, remind yourself that you have been loved by God. That the love of God surrounds you and you can rest in peace with Him. You can rest in his arms. This is who you are. You are the beloved people of God. When this truth really sinks down into us, when it's not just something we know in our heads, but when it penetrates our souls, Then we're given supernatural power to persevere under the weight of pressure. Your hope is in God's unchanging love. And it will give you supernatural power to stand up under the pressures of your life. So that's the first promise that we're given here. That we are to hope in. We are to hope in the fact that God loves us with an undying love through Jesus Christ. The second promise that we find here is this. That God's glory is most clearly seen when the pressures of life are overwhelming. That God's glory is most clearly seen when the pressures of life overwhelm us. Going back to the analogy of the jar of clay, it says in verse 6 that God has made His light shine in us. Well, you know, if you put a light inside of a jar of clay and you put the top on, you don't get to see that light. It's all covered up. But when the pressures of life pile up on you, and the jar begins to chip and crack, the jar doesn't get crushed, but it gets cracked, it gets beat up, and through those cracks, the light of the glory of God gets to shine through. It's in the midst of pressure and hardship that people get to see the reality of the glory of God. They get to see the glory of God as it's revealed through you under pressure. The things that you're experiencing are overwhelming. You may wonder, why does God send you into this pressure cooker? Sometimes it feels like there's no purpose to the things you're going through. It's like this cruel joke. You wonder why God does what He does. But if you remember, as Paul pointed out to us at the end of verse 3 of chapter 3, remember our purpose in life. These things bring glory to God. These pressures enable us to fulfill our purpose in life. Sometimes we think, you know, if God would just take some of these things away, I could serve Him so much better. I would bring so much glory to Him if He would just remove some of these responsibilities and pressures. These things are keeping me from the ministry. Why does God allow me to be overburdened when I could be so useful? We think of all these things. Why does God do this? So that you can fulfill your purpose by bringing glory to God, letting the glory of God shine through the cracks of your life, shine through the cracks of the jars of clay. When these piles, these pressures pile up on us, don't run away. When you continue to persevere under the weight that would normally crush anyone else, everyone around you gets to see that you live for a reason other than yourself. You don't just live for yourself, but you live for the glory of God. Your hope is that God is glorified in the midst of your struggles. In the last verse of chapter 3, it says that day by day, God is transforming us into His likeness so that we can glorify Him even better. God uses these pressures to transform us so that His glory shines brightly. It'd be so nice if that transformation came easily, but so often we're hardened in areas, and God takes a more aggressive road to break us. And through those pressures, He knocks off our self-righteousness. He knocks off our self-reliance, our self-centeredness, so that we can see that our only hope for righteousness is in Him. That we rely completely on Him. We can do nothing apart from Him. And that our lives are centered only around Him and not on ourselves. And it's only in Him that we hope. These pressures in your life are actually opportunities to bring glory to God. To show the world that you live for something far beyond, far greater than yourself. You live for the glory of God. The promise of God that we can hope in, that we can trust in, is that God is glorified in you right where you are. God has you right where you want. He wants you so that you can bring glory to God. So His glory will be clearly seen when that jar of clay is cracked. So do not lose heart in those difficult relationships. Persevere in those rocky marriages. Persevere in that overwhelming position at work. Persevere when you're overwhelmed with social responsibilities. Persevere when responsibilities multiply, and put your hope in the promise that God will glorify Himself as these pressures come upon you. Put your hope in the promise that your struggles, through your struggles, you will bring glory to God. And in that hope, you will have the supernatural power to persevere and endure. So the first promise that we hope in is the promise that God loves us through Jesus Christ. The second promise that we put our hope in is that God's glory is more clearly seen when we endure these pressures. And the third promise is this: all your sufferings are small and minuscule compared to the unimaginable glory that awaits you. In verses 16 and 17, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all." Paul describes our suffering as slight and momentary. But when we're in the middle of them, they seem anything but slight and momentary. They seem overwhelming. Sometimes you can't see the end, the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes your troubles have lasted for years and they seem like they're going to continue for decades. But here, Paul calls them slight and momentary. Compared to the glory of eternity, our suffering, even if it's the worst suffering known to man and it lasted your entire life, it would still be slight and momentary compared to the glory that awaits us on the day of resurrection. Our life here on earth and the struggles that we experience in it is a single drop of water compared to the ocean of glory that awaits us. The ocean of glory and joy and pleasure in eternity. We can't imagine what awaits us in the presence of God. We live in a culture of instant gratification. Our human nature is that way. We want to have pleasure and glory now. And when we don't have it, when we get trouble and trial, instead we get upset. We shake our fists at God. Paul is urging us to set our hope not on this life, not on what we can see, but to set our hope on what we can't see. The hope of glory. Persevere and endure humility and suffering now by setting your eyes on the hope of glory that awaits us. This unimaginable inheritance that we have as we put our hope in the glory that will be given to us. This will give us supernatural power to endure under pressure. This chapter was written to people who are overwhelmed by the circumstances that they live in. They're getting beat on. And Paul encourages them. Twice here in chapter 4 he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." Therefore we do not lose heart. We don't give up. He's one friend encouraging another friend. This is the call to you. Don't lose heart. You may be overwhelmed with these hard circumstances, ever-increasing responsibilities, overwhelming emotions. You may feel the cracks beginning to form, and you feel like you're not going to be able to last much longer. Well, I say to you, as Paul said to this church, this overwhelmed congregation, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Persevere by setting your hope on the promises of God. Your eyes have been opened to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So put your hope in His unconditional love. Put your hope in the promise that God's glory shines brightest in the midst of your overwhelming circumstances. Put your hope in the promise that these troubles, even the worst of these troubles, are light and momentary compared to the weight of glory that awaits us at the resurrection. Let this hope shine in you. Let this hope live deeply inside of your soul, and it will give you reason to persevere. You know, in that country song, that guy was trying to encourage his friend through the weight of his overwhelming pressures and responsibilities, all these troubles. And he said, well, you know, that's life. Suck it up and deal with it. That's the best encouragement the world can come up with. And it's no encouragement at all. They don't have any hope. They don't have any promises. If that's the only reason to persevere, then this battle, this struggle is not worth it. I would have been done long ago. But as children of God, we have a hope that the world cannot even imagine. Because of what Jesus has done, we have a hope that gives us supernatural power to persevere. So don't lose heart. Carry on. Cling all the more to the great hope that is yours in Jesus Christ. And may God be glorified as His light shines through the cracks of these jars of clay. Therefore, we do not lose heart because of the hope that lives in us. Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we thank You that we are not left on our own here, but that You encourage us and comfort us with the great promises of Your Word. We thank You for the great promise that we have through Jesus Christ. And through Him we have all these many, many benefits. Oh God, please let us put our hope in these promises. Let us put our hope in Jesus Christ, that through Him, Your name would be glorified through our overwhelming circumstances. And that through Him, when we pass out of this life, we will enter into glory, glory that we cannot imagine. Father, surround us with Your love. Give us the strength to persevere. Give us that supernatural power to stand up under the pressures that would crush any normal person. Do this for Your glory, not our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.